All right, as we are aware, the theme of camp is about going out and preaching the gospel. I won't read the theme scripture, but if we can go to Acts chapter 1. All right, and just before we get into that, we all know also Mark 16, famous scripture there. Jesus talks about, well, he mentions to go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, gospel meaning good news, and we have got good news to share. And just before Jesus was taken up, he had a few messages to say, or a few things to say, and one of them was about going out and preaching the gospel to every creature. And you know, that's a massive task, isn't it? Every creature, you know. You know, pretty much just, you know, go out there, just spread the word, just get it out to whosoever. In Acts chapter 1, just a couple of verses, in verse 8, again, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And I mean, if this is obviously some important stuff that he's trying to get across before he's been taken up, and it's like that, isn't it? If you know, you're going to see someone for the last time or whatever, and you're going to say something, it would be something very important, wouldn't it? You want to leave them with something very important. That final message would be such an important message that you'd want to leave with them. And the Lord here is telling them, you know, make sure you receive the Holy Ghost, and you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So once you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to be witnesses to me. You're going to testify of me, what I've done, and you know, throughout the earth there. So it's obviously important stuff he's left for us to do. Now, if we go up to Acts chapter 8, I'm pretty much, for most of my verses, I'm going to stick with the book of Acts tonight, for most of them. Now, the book of Acts, I've mentioned this before, it's, you know, I look at it as, you know, the action that's happened after Jesus has been taken up, after Jesus has been on earth, he's spoken to the disciples, his people, he's done miracles, he's done wonders, he's died on the cross. And then after the Gospels, you read the book of Acts and you see all that stuff coming to fruition. You see all the miracles, the healings, the blessings, the people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, everything that Jesus spoke about, you know, put into action and things happening. And the book of Acts is full of action, you know, full of great stuff, great stories. And I encourage you to read the whole book. You know, you'll be encouraged to go out and preach the gospel and I guess, you know, to witness and testify of the Lord, you know, when you read through these stories in the book of Acts. So that's what people are doing. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they're going out and they're sharing their experience with others and seeing the church grow and grow and grow. So I'm just going to pull a few stories out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, and we'll start reading in verse 5. Okay, I better turn there myself. All right, and it reads, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." And this man here, Philip, has gone out preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, telling people about it, and things are happening. People are being healed. People are being delivered. Great things were happening. People that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. People were rejoicing. People were happy. People were, you know, their lives were changed, or they were seeing their brother, their sister, their best friend, their mum, their dad being healed, and there was great joy. It brought great joy to that city, the things of God, because of this man, Philip, going out preaching the gospel, telling them about what Christ had done and what he can do for them. And we'll just read, on verse 9. "And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So this man here, Simon, he had his ways and people were sort of, I guess, intrigued by what he said. But when Philip came and was preaching the truth and telling them, you know, and they saw the miracles that were happening, they decided to follow what he said, what he was saying, follow the Lord. And they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 13, and when Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. You know, these things were just, you know, I guess, blowing his mind. You know, just great things were happening. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. So these people had been baptized. They wanted to, I guess, they were intrigued about what Philip was saying about the Lord Jesus, and they followed through, they got baptized, but there was something missing. They still hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And then we read Peter and John came. They came to help Philip out, come and prayed with these guys. You know, how did they know they hadn't received the Holy Ghost? Well, they knew, you know, because they hadn't seen or heard them speak in tongues. So they knew that experience hadn't happened. And then Peter and John came, helped out. They prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And they did. And, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting times, isn't it? This church here, you know, from Philip going out, preaching the gospel, doing the things of the Lord, getting some help from his brothers there, and Lord Peter and John coming to pray, and these people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, this little church in this area starting to grow, you know, all because of these guys going out and preaching the gospel. Now, who wants an exciting walk in the Lord? A good show of hands. That's great. We do, don't we? We want an exciting walk in the Lord. We want to see great things happen. And, you know, this is just like a small story here in the book of Acts here, but great things are happening because they're going out and doing the Lord's work. And if you want an exciting walk in the Lord, one of the best ways to do it is to go out and preach the gospel, to go out, be amongst it. And when you go out and preach the gospel, when you see these things happen, like they did in this story here, it gives you joy. And it gives the church joy as well. The church rubs off on that and they think, oh, you know, that's great. You know, this brother's been healed. You know, it's a team effort as well. Someone might go out and preach the gospel, bring them to the meeting. Pastor Mike will baptize them. Someone else will pray with them maybe, or pray with Pastor Mike with them. And, you know, there's a few people involved with that. And, you know, someone else might go follow them up. And, you know, there's joy in the church. You know, people are having, you know, a little bit of a, you know, part of that and see them get saved. And it's good for them. And it's also obviously good for that person that gets saved. So it brings joy to the church, brings joy to the fellowship, and it obviously saves their soul. So if you want an exciting walk in the Lord, it's a great theme. It's something that, you know, we should be, we are reminded of constantly because we know it works and it's going to help your walk in the Lord and bring excitement to the church. You know, we all want to have an exciting and fulfilling life. And I guess if we're not putting that effort into the things of the Lord, you know, there's a temptation to look for excitement elsewhere. You know, the natural things of the world. And, you know, you don't need to go there. You know, a lot of us have come from the world. I know there's been people brought up in the Lord, but a lot of us have come from the world and we were looking for excitement. We were looking for joy and we're looking for things out there and we couldn't find it. And then we've come to the Lord and we're like, wow, this is great. You know, there's so much fulfillment, so much joy here. And going out and preaching the gospel and seeing that happen to others, seeing other people's lives change, brings great excitement and great joy to you. And if you're putting your efforts into that and you're having that joy in the Lord and that excitement, you walk in the Lord by preaching the gospel, you're not going to be persuaded of the things in the world, what they're trying to offer out there. Now, I'm just thinking of a memorable moment in my walk in the Lord. We had an outreach in the city years ago now, and this guy I ended up having a chat with wanted to come to the meeting, and we took him up to Morley on the Wednesday night, and he decided to get baptized. Well, this is great. And so I went out the back there with him and one of the pastors baptized him there. And he didn't receive straight away. So, you know, we opened the curtain, had a bit of a pray, didn't receive. They closed the curtain. And I was just standing out the back, probably from, you know, me to Dave or Pastor Mike away. And I was just watching and he kept praying. And all of a sudden, bam, just burst out speaking in tongues. And I was just watching it and I was just so excited. There was like this download of sort of, this is what it's all about. I was just thinking, this, what I'm seeing right now is what it's all about. And I was pinging off the wall. And I mean, this guy was happy as well. And and all that. But I was so excited. I thought, this is what it's all about. What I'm witnessing right here, right now, this guy can feel the Holy Spirit, is what it's all about. And, you know, I was on my way home, you know, I was so excited about that. I don't think that guy ever come back, but, you know, I had a great time. It was exciting just to see this guy filled the Holy Spirit. And, I mean, I'm sure those who have prayed and seen it happen, you know, you'd be able to testify how great and how awesome that is. So we can all be a part of that. It's just, you know, up to us to put ourselves in that position to be involved. If we go to Acts chapter 8. Well, we're still there, sorry. Verse 26, I'm going to read another story. So we want an exciting walk in the Lord, and the best way to do it is to get out and preach, because we can all do that. All of us can do it in a different way. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Again, this is Philip. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to his chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came into a certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded that the chariot be stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And it's an amazing story, isn't it? Another amazing story, just after the one we read there. And I guess Philip was put in a situation here where he was able to expound on the Word of God, clarify the truth. There was this man here who was reading the book of Isaiah there, you know, and he didn't quite understand, you know, these verses about Jesus. And there's Philip right there. And then the Lord moved upon him. The Lord, and George was touching on that a little bit last night, how sometimes the Lord will move upon us, and, you know, and just put it on your heart to go and talk to that person or go and say something to that person. And I mean, who sort of had that experience where you just feel like, I've got to go talk to that person? Who's had that? Yep. I remember years ago, again, I was talking to Suzette after an outreach once, and she's saying, you know, I like to pray before I go outreaching, you know, pray for, you know, and that's fair enough, you know, it's good thing to do. And she said, and sometimes I even pray for a miracle. And I thought, oh, I've never done that before. I've never prayed for a miracle before I've gone outreach. I thought, oh, I should try that, you know, maybe it, you know, something will happen. So this one Wednesday afternoon, I used to catch the bus and somewhere on a Wednesday afternoon, and before I went, I thought, and you know, I'd get on the bus and I'd try and have a witness, and I thought, all right, so I'm going to pray for a miracle, you know. So I got down and I had a pray, and then I walked to the bus stop, and I was in Spearwood there, and across the road from me, there was this guy just across the road at the other bus stop going the other way, you know, trying to catch the bus the other way. And I had this urge to go talk to this guy. I just had this urge, and I thought, I'm not going over there, you know. If someone was here, you know, my stop, I'd maybe talk, but I'm not going over there. And I'm just waiting for my bus, and this guy is just there. And then I just had this overwhelming desire, go talk to that guy. Just felt like, you got to go talk to that guy. So I thought, oh, I'm going to talk to that guy. So I went and talked to that guy, and that guy ended up coming to the meeting on Friday night, got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think, wow, that's the Lord. That was the first person I spoke to after asking the Lord, you know, I want a miracle, you know, prayed for a miracle. The very first person I spoke to came to the meeting, got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. You think, you know, the Lord's all involved with that, isn't it? And he puts it on our heart. Great things can happen if we get the Lord involved. You know, it's about getting the Lord involved. You know, it's nothing of us, nothing of me. It's all about the Lord. And if we put ourselves in a position, the Lord can bless that. And George was touching on that little bit last night, wasn't he, about how Lord will put things on people's hearts and, you know, you want to preach the gospel to them. And Philip was led here to go and talk to this guy and to clarify the truth, to preach the truth and to, I guess, let this guy know what was missing. And sometimes there's people out there, they're religious, they've got a good heart, but they're just missing something. And we read of Cornelius in the next chapter, in chapter 10, very similar man who, you know, was a devout man, but there was something missing. And, you know, if you get the opportunity to expound the word of God, take it, you know, take it. Let them know what's missing. They, you know, they might be wanting to know the truth and they just haven't been told that before. And by the grace of God, he's shown us. And it's up to us to expound, to clarify the scriptures, to help them out so they may find the Lord and be saved themselves. So have a pray about it before you go out. Pray about witnessing. Pray for a miracle. Pray for the opportunity and see what the Lord can do for you, and see some exciting things happen there. All right. Now, I'm just going to read another verse from Acts. I've got another question for you. Who's scared a bit a bit afraid of preaching the gospel? I am. I mean, it's a daunting thing at times, you know. It's not always you feel like, during a rally we have after a few days, because you're so built up in the Lord, it doesn't sort of matter so much then. But sometimes to just get yourself up and ready to go out and witness on a Saturday, you know, cold can be a little bit daunting at times, you know, a little bit scary. You know, you're talking to strangers you haven't met before, you know, or go door knocking, you're knocking on someone's door, you don't know how they're going to react. It can be a little bit daunting, can't it? You know, and we can all be afraid in different ways, different levels at different times. But we've got to try and push past that, because if we do, it'll be a great result on the other side. And let's read about a little story here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 1. And Saul, so this is actually Paul before he was converted, before his name was changed, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went out unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. So this man saw, well, Paul, he was persecuting the church. You know, he was giving them grief. He was giving them a hard time. And, you know, he was a troublemaker for the church. Verse 3, and people knew that. People knew that, as we'll see. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So this is Jesus talking to him. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So when people are giving you a hard time, they're giving the Lord a hard time. Try and think of that. You think, okay, try not to take it personally. You know, they're actually giving the Lord a hard time. And, you know, you're trying to do the Lord's work. And, you know, we're trying to remind ourselves that it's the Lord that they're, you know, really disobeying here and giving a hard time. And in verse 6, and Paul, as he trembling as astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said, and the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. So obviously the Lord's humbled him a lot here, and that can be a process for a lot of us before we get saved. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So this man, Ananias, he was a bit scared. He was a bit afraid, and understandably so. He knew about this man. This man, Paul, had a reputation, and he was afraid. He's like, really? You want me to go talk to that guy? He's got authority to, you know, give us, you know, well, bind us and to, you know, give us a bit of grief. And he goes, you want me to go out and talk to that guy? And, you know, he was afraid. He was a bit obviously scared, and he was, well, I don't really know if I want to do this. But let's see what happens. Verse 15, but Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, probably shaking his boots a little bit, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way that you came, has sent me that that you mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately fell from his eyes as he had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And amazing, amazing turnaround, amazing testimony. And this guy, Ananias, you know, it'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool one to have under your belt, isn't it? Going, oh, I witnessed to Paul. And, you know, he obviously went out, and we heard George said, you know, I think you met the guy that witnessed to Pastor Godfrey. Is that right? You know, and, you know, this guy, Ananias, he was a bit afraid, a bit scared, but he just followed through what the Lord wanted him to do. Paul came along, and Paul was converted. He was a changed man. He was a changed man. And he went about preaching the gospel of Christ. And we know the stories of Paul, how you know, amazing evangelist he was and worker for the Lord. And he was just full on for the Lord from that point. It would have been a great thrill though, for Ananias to be a part of that. You know, praise the Lord that, you know, he followed through with that and, you know, saw this amazing result for Paul. And Paul would have been obviously very grateful as well. So this testimony did stand out for others, stood out for others to see that Paul was converted, he was changed, and the Lord used him as a chosen vessel to go out and do his work and to preach the gospel. So I guess my encouragement tonight is, you know, there's so much excitement that we can get from preaching the word, from preaching the gospel, and there'll be sometimes we'll be afraid, there'll be a bit of fear that will sort of kick in, and we're just going to think, nah, you know, I'm just going to go out there, I'm just going to try and push through this, and see what can happen. You know, we all have fear of rejection, don't we? You know, no one likes getting rejected, you know, but someone's got to push through that. And when we push through that, you know, great things can happen. And, you know, we don't want to sort of, you know, trying to take it personally. We are rejected, but, you know, it's going to happen. You know, I guess we don't want to, I guess, sugarcoat things. You know, you are going to get rejected going out and preaching the gospel. There is going to be, I guess, some war wounds, as we should say, when you go out there. You know, people might say some nasty things. That's going to happen. But there's also going to be some great blessings, some great results that will happen also. And sometimes you get together with the saints and you talk about some of those witnesses you had but turned a little bit, you know, weird or funny or sour or whatever, and you have a bit of a laugh about it, and it sort of helps, you know, to sort of get it off and your chest and sort of have a bit of a chuckle and laugh about it. It is going to happen, but, you know, we are fighting a spiritual, I guess, battle out there. But the blessings that can happen much outweigh that rejection and those things that, you know, we don't sort of want to happen to us. So, you know, we've got to try and overcome that. Pray about it, obviously. We'll help you overcome that. Just small steps of witnessing, small steps in your way of going about witnessing can help you, I mean, build up to other avenues of witnessing. And I guess the stories I read tonight were about men, but it's not just limited to men. I know I've read, you know, about different men getting converted and preaching the gospel, but there's an amazing evangelist in our church that are women. They go out there and preach the gospel, no fear. And, you know, it's just not obviously for the men, it's for all of us. And some of the, you know, really good evangelists that we have in the fellowship are women. They're out there preaching the gospel, fearless, and you know, the Lord's working through them, through them to bring people to the Lord. So let's, I guess, stir ourselves up and try and get involved where we can. Now, I made a list. I just thought I'm going to make a bit of a list here because, you know, there's so many different avenues. There's so many different avenues we can witness, and I'll go through some quickly because, you know, it just might help you if you're thinking, I want to get involved witnessing, but I don't think I can go door knocking at this point or street witnessing at this point. But there might be another avenue that I sort of rattle off here that might help. I guess there's the personal side of witnessing, isn't there, where maybe family, a neighbour, a work colleague, uni or school friends, you know, well, I guess we sort of talk about them as personal witnessing, people that we're involved with from day to day. There's the organising outreaches, street prophecies, door knocks, things that we can get involved with that will obviously, you know, that are great. And if you can get involved with, come. But it does really help. You can tag along as well. You can tag along with someone if you're a little bit unsure about, you know, doing it or whatever, or a little bit, you know, afraid of it at first. You can tag along. I remember my first door knock, I tagged along with someone. It was great. It was really great just tag along with this person and hearing what they were saying and how they were, you know, combating the questions and all that sort of stuff. So there's the organised outreaches, encourage you to try and get to that. We have the concert nights. We need people evangelising on those nights. We have our camps like we've got now where we can take brochures into town. We can hand out a brochure. There's the letterboxing. We can do some letterboxing. If that's maybe that's a bit of, a way to introduction, to, you know, it might just be like, oh, I don't think I'm quite ready to go street witnessing yet, but I'm happy to do some pamphleting. You know, it's still putting a letterbox in someone's, putting a pamphlet in someone's letterbox that they may read. Maybe start with that. There's the internet, you know, a lot of, you know, that's helpful these days, going on the internet, witnessing online. Donald shared a testimony last night where he witnessed to someone online. So maybe that might be your avenue. Sort of think about where could I help? Maybe if that's your sort of niche, that's where you think, you know, I could help out there, you know, try witnessing online to some people. There's joining a social club, you know, indoor soccer, you know, some cricket or whatever. Try and get, you know, meet some people that way. You may be able to get a witness out. There's the general out and about witnessing, you know, at the shopping centre, getting your car fixed, going to the gym when you pay, you know, pay for your shopping. You know, leave someone with a brochure if you can. We got our services, the plumber, the painter, the delivery guy that comes to our house. Why not give them a brochure as they leave? Thank you very much, you know. Here's a brochure as you go away. It's to our church. Why not? You never know. There's the transport opportunities. We're on a bus, a plane, train, whatever. You might just be sitting next to someone. I know a lot of people wear these the earphones these days and all that sort of thing, but, you know, maybe you'll sit next to someone who isn't, you know, doesn't have the earphones in. You might be able to just, you know, start off with gently, how's your day been? You might get a witnessing. Selling or buying stuff through Gumtree or Marketplace. Why not? When you sell them your whatever it is, you're selling your coffee machine, whatever. Oh, by the way, here's a brochure that goes with that. Who knows? You know, they just bought something off you. 9 times out of 10, they're going to take it. They just bought something off you. They might just want to get away and they might just take it, but who knows? There's notice boards. We can put brochures up at the shopping centres. Telemarketing. Is anyone who gets annoyed? You know, sometimes at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you're about to have your dinner and someone rings up and they want to talk to you for 20 minutes and you go, I don't have time to talk to them. So, you know, it's happened to us, hasn't it? Why not try this? Why not when someone rings up and say, this next time, say, I'll tell you what, I'll listen to you for 10 minutes if you listen to me for 10 minutes first. You know, if you say that, they want to sell something, so they want to talk to you. Let them, you know, listen to you for 10 minutes, preach the gospel to them. Why not? You know, they're going to listen to you for 10 minutes and then maybe, you know, you could listen to them and say, oh, I'm not interested anymore, or whatever. But they're going to want to talk to you for 10 minutes, so why not get in first? It's just another avenue. There's the overseas outreaches, the interstate outreaches are nice, a little bit hard these days or at the moment, but that's hopefully will open up soon. You'll get opportunities to go overseas to an outreach. Go plan your holiday to Fiji, but tack it on at the end of one of the outreaches over there. They're great getting involved with the outreaches there, helping them out, Papua New Guinea or interstate outreaches there. They're really good and encouraging. So there's just a few avenues there. There's probably more that I haven't thought of. If you've got another one, then that's great. But there's different ways we can witness and you know, get the gospel out. And I think the key is, one, is to be prepared. Be prepared, have a brochure or, you know, something on you. If you know, it's good to have a brochure because you give them the address or the phone number of where we're at. But I think the key is have it on your mind. If it's on your mind, you're going to be looking for the opportunities. You're going to be looking for it. And I mean, today, it's probably all of us could probably think back through the day and think, yeah, there's an opportunity I could have spoken to someone, you know. We're probably someone at the park or someone we, you know, been, you know, just someone we walk past, you know, that we could have just given a brochure to. So the key is to have it on your mind. If it's on your mind, you'll be prepared. You'll be praying for opportunities. We can also obviously pray for the Lord's help in this area. You know, the Lord says that the righteous is bold as lion. So if you feel like you're, you know, lacking a little bit in that, you know, pray for some boldness. Lord, help me with getting out, preaching, taking out your gospel, Lord. Help me there in that area. You know, if you've got that mindset of, Lord, I want to be used by you, help me. Lord's going to help you. You know, he wants to help you. He wants you to be about his business. So there's a few things there that might sort of help you out with how you can go about outreaching. And I think also a good thing is, you know, letting your testimony shine can do a lot of talking for you. You know, just being a good testimony at work or wherever you are, you know, people might just ask, you know, if that hope that lies within you. So obviously we want to uphold that testimony of ours. Just one last scripture. Sorry, I might have kept you a little bit long, but let's just go to 2 Timothy just to finish on tonight. And it's just one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul here saying, says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So there's going to be opportunities and we're going to feel like, you know, the Lord's moved upon us to go talk to that person, but it's not always going to happen like that. And we're just encouraged, you know, to just go out and preach the gospel. Just go out, preach the gospel, be instant, in season, out of season. You know, don't always wait, you know, think, oh, I'll wait till, you know, the perfect timing or whatever. Just go out and do it and see what happens. You know, sometimes you're just going to, you know, as Chris was saying, you know, he was out there preaching the gospel in Albany for ages and ages and ages, you know, and then one day someone just come to him, you know, as easy as that, you know, of the Lord, just set it up and the brother's still, Tim's still walking with us this day. And it's amazing, isn't it? The Lord just sets things up. And like I was saying, put ourselves in the position to be used by the Lord, and you'll see exciting things happen. When you're out there preaching the gospel, doing his business, the Lord will bless your walk with him, and you'll see great things. All right.